Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
Have your Bible, turn over to Exodus chapter 35. We're going to go Old Testament tonight. And when you get there to Exodus 35, go ahead and save that spot and flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to focus in the Old Testament tonight, but I do want to start off by reading a couple verses in one of my favorite chapters, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Usually, when I turn to Exodus or 1 Corinthians chapter 12, people start thinking I'm going to be talking about tongues or healing or prophecy or something like that, but don't worry, we're not. So you can get a break from that every once in a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." This is something that we should know, something we should be knowledgeable on. Verse 4, skipping down some. "Now there are a variety of gifts. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And then if you keep reading, it does start talking about messages and tongues, interpretation, talks about healing and prophecy and different things like that, discernment, words of knowledge. But we got to know that those gifts, those that are listed here, are not the only spiritual gifts that God gives. There's a lot more than just these things. If that was so, if that's all the spiritual gifts, every single one of us are supposed to have all these gifts, and then we have no builders or electricians because we're just all prophets or whatever it may be. But there are a lot of spiritual gifts that we need to dive into and through time study and learn who, what am I called to do, what's my anointing, what's my gifting. But tonight I want to specifically talk about the craftsman. And so tonight the sermon, the message title is The Anointed Craftsman. The Anointed Craftsman. Turn over to Exodus chapter 35. Whenever we hear somebody say, "Man, that person's anointed," or that man's anointed," we almost always go to, "Oh, he's a preacher," or "He's a prophet," or "He's an evangelist," or he's a missionary," or something like that. When we think of anointed, when we hear, "Man, that is an anointed man of God," we don't automatically think of a carpenter, right? When we go, "Man, that person is anointed by God," we don't automatically think of a painter or an electrician. But we got to get our minds that the craftsman is just as anointed as the preacher. The craftsman is just as anointed and called by God as the missionary. But what we do whenever we say, "Oh, that person's anointed," "Oh, well, I'm not anointed. I'm just a painter. I'm just a plumber." Come on, the house of God needs some toilets. Amen. We need some anointed plumbers. Thank God for Matt, right? Yeah, coming in here, putting in the toilets. An anointed man of God right there. He may never stand behind the pulpit, but that's one anointed man. Every time you sit on that toilet, I want you to think of Matt. No, don't. That's little. He probably wouldn't appreciate that. But the anointed craftsman. In chapter 35, I want to pull out two characters in the Bible. Two men that were very anointed by God. One of their name is Bezalel. And the other one is Aholiab. Really, you know, with names like that, they've got to be anointed. All right, so these two men, Bezalel and Aholiab, in Scripture. In this time period, have you ever read through Exodus and you're reading through the building of the tabernacle and you're like, "Oh my gosh, this is the most boring thing I've ever read." And what's sad is you read one chapter and it says all the measurements and what God wants on it. He's telling Moses and he's like, "Okay, Moses, I want this and this and this." And he's very detailed. "And I want this picture and I want this color and I want this measurement and I want this material. And then I want this kind of metal and I want this." And you're reading, you're like, "Oh, I'm done. I'm finally through that. And you turn the page and you start reading the next chapter, and it's Moses telling the people, God wants this, and he wants this, and he wants this, and he wants this color, he wants this material. It's like, oh, I got to read it all over again. But there's some truths in every scripture that is anointed by God because it's breathed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit doesn't say things by accident. And there are some things in here that we need to pull out and we need to understand. So God told Moses, Moses, here's what I want. I want this kind of tabernacle. I want these measurements. I want you to use this kind of material. If you haven't read it, go read it. Whenever you are feeling like you have a lot of energy, don't do it when you're ready to go to sleep because you won't get anything out of it. But as you're reading it, it's very detailed, and God tells Moses, "This is what I want." And whenever we think of the building of the tabernacle, that's where God's presence came and dwelled among men. It was the most anointed. That was the center of Israel's life, was the tabernacle, right? It was the center of where everything happened. God would come down and speak to Moses, and he would receive the word and direct Israel. It was where God said, I want to dwell with my people. And so they built the tabernacle. And whenever we think of the building of the tabernacle, we always look at Moses. Man, Moses, you're such a good guy. Moses, and we give him all the credit, but the fact of the matter is, Bezalel and Aholiab, they're the men that needed the credit here, because they're the ones that did all the work. They're the ones that put their hands to the plow, so to speak, or the chisel and the hammer and the melting pot and all these things. These men were greatly used by God. Let's read a few scriptures here. Chapter 35, verse 30 is where we're going to start. So God had already told Moses these things, and now Moses is going to tell the people of Israel. Verse 30, Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And God has filled him with the Spirit." That Spirit's the capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. People say people weren't filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. They're wrong. It says it right here. Was filled with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and carving wood for work in every skilled craft. And he has inspired him to teach both him and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen. Some fine twine linen. Or by a weaver. By any sort of workman or skilled designer, Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with the Lord or with all that the Lord has commanded. So the craftsmen, the anointing of the craftsmen, God filled these two men with the Spirit of God, with intelligence, to be able to work with their hands and to build things and create things and design things. Moses wasn't anointed to do that. That wasn't his gifting. That wasn't his calling. That wasn't his anointing. But these two men were filled with the Spirit of God to do this. So whenever we think of the beautiful Ark of the Covenant with the angels and the altar and the beautiful lamp and all these things that were holy and set apart for God, and the ornaments and the clothing that the priest wore, and all these things these men designed and created. They were anointed to do so. Modern day craftsmen may not, be making oils and spices. That's not limited to that. Obviously, they can do those things. A modern-day craftsman may not be making gold plates and altars and things like that, but there are modern-day craftsmen, and that is still a ministry and an anointed ministry within the church. And when I thought of it, took me a while to try to figure out a title for this, but when I was thinking of anointed craftsmen, my mind automatically went to two guys, and I know, and then as I started thinking, I started looking around, and it started going to a lot of people in this church, because we have a lot of men who are anointed craftsmen of God. I started thinking of Rick Bertolio and Deanne, I mean, not Deanne, Kelly Daniel. I started thinking of Matt. He just put in the toilets back there. I started thinking of Ben cooking. I started thinking of all that Ronnie has done up here, cutting wood. I think of Sean Fancher. I think of all these men in the church who are gifted and skilled. I think of Chico when laying the concrete, all these different things. I think of Rod Cowan, a gifted, anointed man of God. There's a few things in here that, look, you may not ever go to a foreign country and preach the gospel. You may not ever stand behind the pulpit, and most of you men would hate to stand up here behind the pulpit. But that doesn't change the fact that you are anointed and skilled and filled with the Spirit of Almighty God, and we need to understand this anointing and understand this calling. So there are 6 or 7 things tonight that I want to get to about the anointed craftsman. Some truths in the scripture. I say 6 or 7. We'll figure out how many there are at the end, right? But there are a few things that, in this passage that we just read that is very applicable to all the anointed craftsmen in the room tonight. And for those of y'all who maybe you're not necessarily a craftsman, you're somewhere else in the ministry, this will help you appreciate these men and see the anointing that's on their life. The first thing is you've got to know. You may, like I said, you may not be the preacher, the missionary, evangelist, prophet, whatever, as far as the ministry in the church. You may be the craftsman, but what you've got to know is according to Scripture, God has called you by name. That's the first one. God has called you by name. Verse 30 says, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah." I've heard people say things like, "Oh, ever since so-and-so was a child, God knew that that was going to be a preacher. God knew he was going to be a missionary." But you've got to realize, craftsmen in here, electrician, painter, plumber, whatever you are, carpenter, God knew whenever you were being formed in your mother's womb, "I'm calling him by name," or her, I don't guess it has to be limited to a man, "but I'm calling you by name to do what I've gifted you to do." He's got it implanted in your DNA. Some of y'all were building forts whenever you were 4 years old and looking better than what I could do as a 26-year-old. God gifted you and has anointed, and he's called you by name to do what you're called to do. There's importance in what you do. So much that God's called you by name, and he's got a plan for you. If he calls you, you know he will equip you. And he's got a plan for you. God doesn't call those that he doesn't have a plan for. He's got a plan for your life. And obviously, that is to fulfill with the gifts and the talents, the furtherment of the kingdom, and however we're called individuals to do that. Second thing, God wants to fill you with his Spirit. Verse 31 says, "And he has filled him with the Spirit of God." But get this, just being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean just speaking in tongues. But whenever these men were filled with the Spirit, look at what the result of that was. Because I filled them with the Spirit, and then we start seeing the result of the filling of the Holy Spirit. It says, "Filled him with the Spirit of God with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship to devise these artistic designs and to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting stones and this fabric and all this different kind of stuff." The filling of the Holy Spirit will grow you in your skill. Whenever the Holy Spirit fills you, you start not only, now I'm not saying that there's not speaking in tongues and some of those real spiritual things, but there's some real practical things with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And what it does is it grows you in your talent. See, you may be talented by yourself in carpentry and some things like that. Well, really you're not, because God gave you all the good gifts that you have. But you may be pretty good without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But imagine what God can do with you. If as a craftsman, you open up and say, "God, I want to be the most anointed plumber, the most anointed painter. Fill me with your Spirit so that I can see things that I used to not be able to see. So I can see things before they happen. I can be filled with all knowledge and all skill and all craftsmanship." God will perfect your ministry and perfect your craftsmanship by filling you with his presence. Man, that is good. Come on, church. Do you agree with me or not? Amen. That's good stuff. Another thing, he'll inspire you to teach. Now, I'm not, you already said I'm not a teacher. I'm a craftsman. But look at the Bible here. The scripture says in verse 34, God has inspired him to teach. Both him and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach and the tribe of Dan. What were they supposed to teach? That doesn't mean they have to go up and teach some big long theological seminar, but God has gifted you and he wants you to hand that down. God is in the process of making someone like you by you teaching them. God is in the process of anointing an Elisha because you're the Elijah and they need your anointing. And so every craftsman, if you're a cook, if you're a painter, if you're a carpenter, there are young men in here that God is calling out to fill those shoes, but they need you to share what God has given them. If you're a mechanic, there's some young men in here that don't know a whole lot about mechanics. And I'm not saying you have to go around and say, all right, I'm going to make you learn mechanics. But be willing to teach what God has gifted you in. Be willing to give of yourself. That is the kingdom of God. God so loved that he gave himself, right? Gave his son. Jesus became flesh and gave himself. And so in the ministry of the craftsman, you are to give yourself. And that means my dad is a craftsman. He's a very good electrician. He's a carpenter. He builds a lot of stuff. And I would say this if he was right here, but there have been times where he hasn't been the best teacher of those things because he just wants to do it. Because I can just, all you craftsmen, can I get an amen? You know your skill, you're good at it, and you don't have time to teach somebody who doesn't know, I'm just going to do it myself. But that's not the calling that God has put on you. He has called you to disciple and to build them up. So whenever times, a little frustration rises, little impatience, I'm just working with an idiot, Josh. You don't understand. This boy knows nothing. Just show some grace as God has for you. Somebody had to teach you. And you may say, no, I learned the hard way. I learned all by myself. No, the Holy Spirit was guiding you and shaping you, and you didn't even know it. So find a young man or a young woman men obviously don't find a young woman, but men, women, in your craft, find a young person to disciple. And we see the plans of God unfold as they teach and they share the giftings that God's given them. Next one. I don't know what number we're on. I'm just going. I didn't number them. I bullet pointed them. Next bullet point. He gave you your skill. You didn't do it on your own. As much as you think that you've learned all by yourself, God filled them with knowledge. If God didn't want you to be good at your skill, he wouldn't have put a brain in you. Whenever I start thinking that I'm awfully talented and I'm awfully skilled in a certain area, I very quickly, if I don't humble myself, God will humble me. And he reminds me that you aren't all that sharp, bub. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even have a brain. You're walking because of me. You're breathing because of me. So if you're not breathing, if you can't breathe, you cannot walk without me, what in the world makes you think you can preach a sermon without me? If you can't see without me, you sure can't paint without me. If you can't grip and use your muscles without God, there's no way you're ever going to build something without God. So lean into him. And give him glory for what he's doing through you. That's the life of an anointed craftsman. Oh, I'm going to have to speed up. Here we go. God wants you to use you to build his kingdom. Look at verse 36, or chapter 36. Look at what Bezalel and Aholiab built. They built, obviously, the tabernacle. But we keep reading verse 8. And all the craftsmen among the workmen made the tabernacle, and starts talking about with 10 curtains. I'm not going to go into the whole building of the tabernacle. Verse 14, and he made curtains. Verse 20, then he made upright frames. Verse 31, he made bars of acacia wood. Acacia, yeah. Verse 35, he made the veil. Chapter 37, verse 1, Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood. Verse 10, he also made the table. Verse 17, he also made the lampstand. Verse 25, he made the altar. He made the holy anointing oil. Verse 29, 38:1, he made the altar. Verse 8, he made the basin of bronze. Verse 9, he made the court. We keep going and keep going and keep going. They made, he made, they made, he made, they made, he made, he made, they made. They, mankind, was used to build the house of God. And same thing for today. God doesn't just throw a building up, and we know that very well here at CMC, don't we? God doesn't just one day, and there it is. It's done by man. And God built his kingdom. He started building his kingdom with a man, Jesus Christ. And he continues to build that kingdom through men and women. Craftsmen have a very, very important part to play in that. Here's a hard part about the ministry of a craftsman. For certain people, and some craftsmen are like, this is exactly what I want, and that's all I want. But as we see here in Scripture, in chapter 38, I was going to read all of these verses, but I'm just going to read a part of verse 22. Verse 22 says, Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. So here's something we see about the ministry of the craftsman, the anointed craftsman. A craftsman partners up with someone else to fulfill God's vision. I've seen every ministry I've ever seen, and I like to follow quite a few ministries. I like to watch them and see how they started. Every single one of them, God has anointed someone, given someone a vision. Maybe even a small team has given this team a vision being led by a man. And then craftsmen come in and partner up with that vision and say, all right, what do you need me to do? What do you need me to do? I'm willing to work. This is my ministry. This is my calling. You don't need to plumb this. I'll plumb this. You don't need to paint this. I'll paint this. It's my gifting. It's my calling. I'm going to grab some young lazy guy and I'm going to teach him how to do it because it's his calling too and he doesn't know it yet. But I'm going to come in and we're going to teach these things. But I'm going to partner with you. Craftsmen are excellent partners. Willing to not be the man up front. Willing to be the one that doesn't get all the credit all the time. And usually, a natural craftsman, that's what he wants or she wants. I'm partnering up. Aholiab and Bezalel don't get a lot of credit. But what they built, literally God himself came down and rested upon. The Ark of the Covenant was the center point, like the tabernacle center point of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was like the most important thing in all of Israel. Because that's where the presence of God rested and sat. And where that ark went, that's where the presence of God went. That's what made David dance so much in the street whenever the ark came in. But you know, when the ark was being brought in, he probably wasn't thinking, man, thank you, Bezalel and Aholiab for building that. All he knew is that was the beautiful, holy thing that we have had for years, and the presence of God came down. The craftsmen don't always get credit, but here's what you got to know. If you're a craftsman, when you get to heaven, your reward will be great. I cannot wait to get to heaven. Like Moses is awesome. Samuel is awesome. Jesus is great. And after I see some of those guys, I want to go up and I want to find Aholiab and Bezalel and just see their rewards for doing what God called them to do. Because if they were obedient, and that allowed the presence of God to come down and dwell among men. Man, craftsmen, you're important. You're anointed by God himself. You're called by God. Look, last little bit I'm going to read here. Verses, the very last chapter, chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. I'm going to read all of this. Because there were men who said, I'm willing to work and do what God's called me to do. I'm willing to walk in this anointing. And they labored. I'm sure some of them grew blisters. Well, that may not be true because, well, that's a theological issue, I guess you can try to study later, but their clothes didn't wear down. Maybe their hands didn't either. I don't know. But anyway, they did have to work hard. They had to sweat and work hard. And look at the result of their work and their labor and their craft. Verse 34. Then the cloud, and this cloud was the presence of God. The cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. and Moses was not even able to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day that it was taken. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. Closing with this. Your craft houses the presence of God. And as you work hard and you work diligent in the gifting and the ministry that God's called you to, the whole world can literally be changed. They may not know you, but it can be influenced by you. Whoever put these basketball goals in, a lot of you in here probably don't know who helped design that and come up with that. But every day I see young men and women in here being influenced by God through those basketball goals. Whoever put in these lights and electrical work, you may never know until you get to heaven. But because of that, I'm able to read the Word of God. Because of that, we have a place to come in and dwell. And God's presence has been in this place, and there's been healings and miracles and encouragement and comfort. Lives have been changed. Marriages have been saved. Children have been set straight in this church because of craftsmen. God can find someone to preach, but to find a craftsman who is anointed to do his work, that takes a very special person. Let's stand.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.